Isaiah chapter 25. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. And thou hast made of a city a heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, and his straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, and he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of the wall shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. Thus is the reading of the morning scriptures. And now we will hear part two, Shake and Bake.
Morning. Isaiah 25 that Pastor Elmore just read continues the thinking of the prophet from the previous reading in chapter 24 from part one of this message. And that is, the foundations of the earth do shake, both physical and spiritual. And that is, there shall be destruction and tribulation. And if at first God does not get your attention, there's more where that came from and will come until he is exalted gloriously. When God's sovereignty confounds all religions and puts to shame the imperfect governments of man. God can make a city a heap of rubble. So too, when man desires to be like the Most High and flaunts his science to wipe a city off the face of the earth, we witness the mystery of iniquity, man making himself God. Such was the case with the 14-hour firestorm bombing of Dresden in 1945 that murdered over 100,000 white civilians. You want to talk about a Holocaust? That means death by fire. Everyone at the time knew Germany was defeated. But the Jew manipulated allies wanted to kill as many white Christians as possible. Not to mention a city blessed with some of the most beautiful church architecture in the world. Isaiah is telling us, foretelling of a time when the children of darkness will no longer have that cocky smirk on their face that has brainwashed the world into thinking they are God's chosen people. God is going to remove the mask of Esau, Edom, and they shall be trodden down, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill, which doesn't sound like a very savory association. Isaiah says God will take away the rebuke of his true Israel people, and he will save us from these terrible, ruthless people who think they're so high and mighty. This is not a sermon to explain why God allows suffering, but the Word of God reassures us in Isaiah 25:8 that he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away all the tears. Even though there are subhuman mongrels that hate us and want the white man dead, count it all joy and be exceedingly glad, because the prophecies are a witness to the truth of God. And it is written, great is your reward, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. As I read some of the poetic language of Isaiah 25, I couldn't help but thinking of this HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, the kind human devils play. If you recall, this is a Tesla technology that has been weaponized. Like a giant microwave oven with antennas that can broadcast enormous amounts of energy to the upper atmosphere and come slamming back down to earth. Verse 4 is talking about God being a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones, not God, the terrible ones, is as a storm against the wall. And again in verse 5, a possible allusion to weather modification, thou shalt bring down the noise of the strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. The terrible ones are waiting for mankind to bow down before them. But the servant race of God is waiting for deliverance. What they don't know is that it's not a rapture that revolves around Jews pretending to be Israel. The deliverance is the removal of the Jews from the earth and their weapons of mass destruction. Some people don't think HARP can cause earthquakes. That is just a hypothetical pseudoscience and disinformation for tinfoil hats to dream up Jewish conspiracies. Well, let's keep in mind, however, that the motto of the insidious Mossad is, by way of deception, we shall wage war. Also, before the nuclear bomb, no one thought such a thing was possible. It was science fiction. Until the mad scientist of the Jewish Staff Manhattan Project unleashed a power hitherto unknown to mankind. Some people think the idea of an earthquake machine is somehow a distraction from God's divine timetable. But how do we know it's not part of His perfectly scheduled prophecy unfolding before our very eyes? It's true that we usually don't see fulfillment of a prophecy except through the hindsight of 20/20 vision. But it's also true that we are given clues, signs, and warnings for those who have eyes to see. Such was the case of those who got out of town before the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. It is not the duty of a Christian to predict the future, but to be dutiful in the here and now. This message is my responsibility to inform my kindred of a shake-and-bake conspiracy run by Antichrist, as well as the master shaker-baker. I think we may well be entering an unprecedented era of natural disasters, which insurance companies call acts of God, and man-made disasters. The conspiracy inherently lies at the doorsteps of Jews obsessed with world communism, as seen from the Jewish fingerprints found all over the crime scene at 9/11. I believe the same forensic evidence will be uncovered involving this disaster in Japan. I presented just the observable tip of the iceberg of some facts that are already out there. If this message does nothing else, it should wake us up to the reality that the U.S. government is the greatest enemy of the people and that it has been taken over by Antichrist Jews. Gone is the time when we could afford the romantic notion that our government existed only to benefit our well-being and protect us from harm, that we had political representation of honorable public servants who loved America as much as we did. But all that has been replaced by narcissistic monsters who think they're the only ones qualified to occupy space on this planet and that all others are useless eaters, allowed to exist only in a state of controlled servitude. But if you carry this game plan to its logical conclusion, when and if the Earth's population is reduced to 500 million, when the majority of us are dead and gone, hypothetically, dead from their Frankenstein experiments, electromagnetic wars, the contamination of our food and water, after mass genocide has run its course, what will be left for them to own and control? Their mercenaries and prostitutes should realize at some point in time that their services are expendable and that their own masters of greed will turn on them. And I'm speaking of the police, military, the preachers in the pulpits of America, But even the Roman centurion Cornelius realized that there was more to life than just a paycheck and authority. On the other hand, we Christian Israelites have an entirely different perspective than the apocalypse that Jews have been grooming society for in their books and movies. It should be said in that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation." It sure feels like that day is now. I'm glad to see the signs of the times. "For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." The apostasy of secular humanism is in full bloom and opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Wouldn't such people want a doomsday machine in their hands? Well, the occult technology of power does. Nikola Tesla claimed his invention could split the earth in half. In 1896, while his fame was climbing, he planned a nice little vibration experiment in his New York City laboratory. What happened was an induced earthquake that shook buildings and people like never before, shattering glass panes, breaking steam, gas, and water pipes. Pandemonium reigned as pieces of machinery weighing tons were dislodged from their bolted anchorages. There was a peculiarly loud crackling noise and lightning. Suddenly, heavy machinery was flying in the air, and Tesla grabbed a hammer and smashed his vibration machine. HARP is the grandchild of this early experiment. In part one, some of the patent holders were mentioned, and I got some leads and some tips from some friends, and I have more information, in which I did more research to find out that APTI, the Advanced Power Technologies, was a subsidiary of Atlantic Richfield Corporation, ARCO, who sold HARP, as you recall, to E-Systems. What's interesting about this is that about the same time that ARCO had been acquired by the BP Amoco Oil Consortium, it then became the world's largest oil consortium, which just so happened to be owned by the Rothschilds, the wealthiest Jews in the world. E-Systems was then bought out by Raytheon, who became the world's largest defense electronics firm in the world. They now own the patents that outfitted a military project called the Doomsday Plan, which allowed the President of the United States to personally manage a nuclear war, as well as other E-System projects like Operation Desert Storm. Well, this is all very much like a very complicated shell game with dozens of shells, or should I say shills. Under the Bush Jr. administration, the main partner of Raytheon in the construction and development stage of HARP, of the HARP antenna array, is British Aerospace, which had been involved in the initial installation. Now, British Aerospace in turn subcontracted with a New Jersey-based firm called DRS Technologies, Diagnostic Retrieval Systems, who produced and installed the high-frequency radio transmitters for the HAARP antenna array. This company primarily does business in the United States, Canada, the UK, and Israel. It was founded by David Gross and Leonard Newman, which sounded Jewish to me, but I could hardly find anything about them to prove this connection. But I noticed that his son, Mark Newman, was the president and CEO of DRS. And that's where I hit the jackpot. I found out he was a participant at a very exclusive Jewish meeting called the Edward Benjamin de Rothschild Herzliya Conference, with the titled agenda of the balance of Israel's national strength and security. Well, who's ever heard of this outfit? I've heard of the Bilderbergers and the Trilateral Commission, but never heard of this one. Balance of Israel's national strength and security. Well, that sounds real benevolent and peaceful, doesn't it? This is what it said from their own website. Quote, since its inception, the Herzliya Conference has become the annual summit meeting of the most influential Israeli and international leaders and has become the center stage for the articulation of national policy by its most prominent leaders. I don't think there's any goyim invited to this gig. The HAARP system is really nothing without the antennas. And that's what the Jews control. What kind of people does our government partner with? I know it's not really our government anymore. Sometimes the corruption becomes so blatant that some kind of overture needs to be made to appease the public outcry. Such was the case last February when British and American Departments of Justice simultaneously announced that they had reached a global settlement with defense giant British Aerospace, bringing to an end a series of long-running and controversial global corruption investigations. British Aerospace will plead guilty to criminal charges of false accounting and pay a total of $400 million in fines, but won't have to admit to the corruption charges, which could have put them out of business. In an effort to improve their public image and their own reputation, British Aerospace commissioned Lord Harry Wolfe to report and make recommendations. And yes, he's a Jew. Harry Wolfe. Lord Harry Wolfe. With a name and pedigree like that, I'm not convinced that bribery won't continue as a way of doing business as usual. Folks, I just can't make up stuff like this. The HAARP magnetometer data provides proof that the earthquake in Japan was not a naturally occurring quake. It was triggered. The data shows that HARP was broadcasting the known earthquake signature frequency and most likely was being transmitted from a floating system like the sea-based X-band radar platform. I've seen pictures of this, and it's huge. This is an ocean-going vessel as big as one of these oil rig drilling platforms. And they can be moved anywhere in the ocean, protected by a military carrier strike group like the USS Ronald Reagan, which was well within striking distance the morning of March 11th. In 1997, the U.S. Space Command, which is part of the Air Force, declared war on the world by committing America to what is known as full spectrum dominance, to be in full force by the year 2020. To close the ever-widening gap between diminishing resources and military commitments. This doctrine was further expanded by the Obama administration from dominating land, sea, air, and space to doctrine, ideology, and cyberspace. The U.S. Air Force announced a vision calling for prompt global strike space systems with the capability of directly applying force from or through space against terrestrial targets on the ground. Right there we have the violent taking the kingdom of God by force. A European official warned that despite the existing conventions referring to United Nations' ban on environmental warfare, military research is ongoing as a weapon, as demonstrated by the Alaska-based HARP, putting into practice then 1999 Acting Secretary of Defense William Cohen, a Jew who is married to a Negro, suggesting, or perhaps a slip of the tongue, that electromagnetic wars could alter the climate and control earthquakes and volcanoes remotely. This means that HARP is funded by the Pentagon, contracted to and designed by the military-industrial complex, and yet we're expected to believe that it's just a benign academic and scientific research rather than a sinister weapon of war against anybody or any country that opposes the New World Order. The official position on HARP cannot be taken very seriously, especially in light of their commitment to this full-spectrum dominance. Ladies and gentlemen, the circumstantial evidence is just getting too much to sweep under the rug. In 2010, we have had a sinkhole form in the ground in Guatemala, landslides in Italy, severe droughts in Russia, even in Kentucky. It was declared an official drought by the governor. Forest fires in Russia and Bolivia. Floods in China, Taiwan, Pakistan, Niger, and Mexico. A hurricane which missed Mexico. A hurricane which hit Burma. A volcanic eruption in Iceland. And earthquakes in Haiti, Chile, China, now Japan, and New Zealand. Added to which, Britain's Ministry of Defense anticipates how new technologies could create disastrous outcomes, planned or unplanned. Note the word planned. The culmination of which is a doomsday scenario, meaning the end of the world, or at least of humanity. What use is full spectrum dominance if there's nothing left to dominate? Well, this is really a religious issue, more than anything. Because the war spelled out in Genesis 3:15 between the offspring of the Adamic race and the offspring of all other races led by the adversaries of God, the Jews, Esau, Edom, incorporated into their alien theology is the Hindu concept of chaos and the extermination of the white race and the utter destruction of the earth itself in order to usher in a new age for the gods of Nirvana to rule and reign. Needless to say, it is antithetical to Christianity's kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. According to Richard Williams, a physicist and consultant at Princeton University, HAARP constitutes an irresponsible act of global vandalism. He and other sane scientists fear that HAARP could produce severe disruptions in the atmosphere that could spread rapidly around the earth for years. It's as crazy as these unpredictable GMOs, genetically modified organisms that threaten the life and health of mankind in unforeseen ways. Would Monsanto, that rakes in billions of dollars every year, care about how their product affects you? No. They're the terrible ones, leading the charge against organic gardening and natural foods. Still not convinced there's a Jewish conspiracy? Have you heard of Stuxnet? It's a computer virus designed to attack servers isolated from the internet, like power plants and nuclear reactors. It was created by a joint effort between the United States and Israel to crash the Iranian nuclear plant. But the program somehow escaped and went wild all over the world. And the virus then prevented the security system at the Fukushima power plant in Japan from shutting down the reactor as it should have, and subsequently caused an explosion. The Israeli news service Haaretz reported that it was Israeli firm Magna that was providing security for the plant prior to the incident. Stuxnet was in Japan last October and was spreading, programmed to wreck nuclear power plants. Stuxnet targets the Siemens controller, which is the automated electronic system Fukushima uses, the Siemens controller that Stuxnet was designed to sabotage. Remember that the first problem following the quake was the automated shutdown system failed in some of the reactors. How many coincidences are we going to afford the Jewish agents who are caught in the middle of these disasters and just blame God or Mother Nature? only wackos and anti-Semites would dare call it a Jewish conspiracy, right? But I found something that might be a little of both. Within the last year, Christ Church New Zealand has suffered 2 earthquakes. Christ Church is named after the Church of England. And the Church of England was a substantial shareholder in British Aerospace. Christ Church was struck with a 6.3 on February 22nd. It was also struck by a 7.1 last September 4th, 2010. But it was deeper and further away from the city itself, so there were no casualties or little destruction. Even so, it revealed a sandy foundation, which reminds us of Christ saying, "Everyone that hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who has built his house on sand." On Christ the rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand. One Christian New Zealander attempted to organize a time of thanksgiving and praise that God had spared the city from the first quake. But the church leaders rejected the idea. The dean of the Anglican cathedral specifically told him that they could not use the main square in Christ Church for worship, even for the whole body. Well, the thankful man called a number of other pastors and Christian musicians. There was no response. Not one person returned his call. To the contrary, a number of rock bands organized a free concert, turning the times of near disaster into a secular event with 20,000 people showing up in the main square. How do you think that makes God feel? Well, maybe something like the democracy of building that golden calf at Sinai. About 6 months later, the second quake was declared a national state of emergency by the Prime Minister John Key. John Key, the son of Jewish refugees who escaped the so-called Nazi Holocaust. As the number of dead reached 182, with much of the city destroyed and hundreds of people missing, they were actually subjected to more G-force than what Japan suffered. The Anglican cathedral, whose dean had refused to use the main square to give thanks to God, collapsed with 22 people buried underneath the rubble. Police said there were no signs of life. A local synagogue was also leveled. Praise the Lord. Perhaps what is more disconcerting than anything is that a national memorial service was held to pay tribute to the victims who died. With 30,000 people in attendance, maybe just to catch a glimpse of Prince William He was representing his grandmother. But I didn't read anything about tribute to Jesus Christ. Nope. Just interfaith offerings from Buddhist, Muslims, Jewish, Hindu, Baha'i, Christian, from which the town's namesake derives. I honestly don't think the shaking is over in New Zealand with so many prayers offered to other gods. We Americans are no better. The quake in Christchurch was a sign for us from God. It is a significant symbol of the church itself. Even as the church in the wilderness rebelled against God under Moses, so too has the church rebelled in our day. Golden calves in the main square. I hope and believe that God is transferring His authority and glory from the failed church age, which fell into apostasy of Jewish Babylon, to a new age of the kingdom manifesting the sons of God and bringing forth the fruits of those who overcame Babylon. The physical and spiritual shakings indicate a time of preparing for the return of our King to claim His kingdom. After I posted part one on Stormfront, one of our members there said, "So now that you've scared the crap out of us, what are we supposed to do?" And I told him my purpose was not to scare people, but to kindle their spirit and stoke the fires of righteous indignation. Pastor Ken Lent pointed out Luke 21:26, which says, "Men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." He went on to explain. The word for heavens here is the Greek word ouranos, having the primary meaning the vaulted expanse of the sky with all things visible in it, the universe, the world. Science is now caught up with God's word contained herein, as we now know that the universe is made up of atomic and subatomic particles. And those particles make up a force which holds all things together and constitute a particular order of arrangement. Jesus Christ told us that this universal power, atomic, shall be shaken before He would return. The Greek word shaken here is saluo, and means to agitate or shake, to cause to totter, overthrow. By the method of splitting the atom, the forces of nature, powers of the heavens, are shaken and overthrown. Jesus said that when this happens, men would have great fear. There's probably been no greater fear internationally over the last two generations than that of an all-out global nuclear war, or lingering death by radiation exposure of a nuclear power plant that has suffered a catastrophic breakdown. The shaking of heaven also signifies a great disruption of the governments of men by the action of the Holy Spirit. In Genesis 37:9-10, we remember that Joseph had a dream where the sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed down to him. Jacob interpreted the dream to mean that Joseph would someday rule over his family, of the father, mother, and 11 brothers. This, of course, happened when Joseph, through a series of circumstances, gained a high governmental position in Egypt, eventually saving his family from famine. Thus, the sun, moon, and stars represent the house of Jacob's position of government in the earth. The scripture story of the history of Jacob Israel's descendants is one where God would bless them and lift them up if they ruled in righteousness, or shake them to their foundations and bring them down if they ruled in evil. In Matthew 24, 29 and 30, we read, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sun, the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." History has revealed a rise in power to great rulership in the earth by Jacob's offsprings as they traveled into Western Europe, establishing the Christian nations and then coming westward to North America. As they trekked in a westward migration, the Holy Scriptures was the predominant law book of these Saxon Christian people. But following prosperity, our people have corrupted themselves by merging our God-given government with the evildoers of international Jewish banking. Thus, instead of having a Christian Commonwealth Republic as intended in 1776, we now see Jacob's latter-day American family, the Stars of Heaven, exporting wickedness and international democracy, which has placed the world at the mercy of the wicked moneylenders. The early founders did their part, but their gallant efforts were soon forgotten by the next generation of Americans. God's word warns us that these heavenly hosts will be shaken and removed. And this, of course, takes place on the earth with the word heavenly being jurisdictional in scope. There has always been a fight for the high places of rulership between good and evil. Both meanings in Luke 21:26 may be taken to act in unison, even though one is physical and one is spiritual. The shaking of the powers of heaven translates to, one, the rising in knowledge of how to split the atom, and two, its very usage to bring the nation's governments, the Stars of Heaven, to be shaken, fall, and be consumed by the divine hand of God Almighty over all circumstances. Well, I might add to Pastor Ken's commentary that besides the negative downside of people's hearts failing them as they witness all of these disasters, is the positive, uplifted Christian who has the perspective of a few verses down in Luke 21, 27 and 28 that says, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." In other words, cheer up, because what you believed throughout your life is now coming to pass in your own lifetime. As shareholders in the Word of God, our faith has dividends. Amen. But if we fail to understand that there's a bunch of bad guys that do bad things, then we may be the perfect candidate to do the wrong things that they have designed for us to do. That's how they stay in power. Revelation verses 13 and 14 talks about the bad guys doing great wonders and making fire come down from the sky in the sight of men, and then proceeds to deceive or perhaps blackmail and order them to make an image of the beast. Or in plain English, worship the government as your God. Isn't that what Jews want? They consider themselves to be the Messiah. Do you recall in part one where Menachem Begin said, "The masses will lick their feet as slaves, and if they don't, they will be liquidated, or as in the case of Japan, shaken to death and irradiated." We are told that there was no conspiracy when the president of Poland and many top officials died in a plane crash. Isn't it ironic that they were on their way to attend an event marking the 70th anniversary of the Caton Forest Massacre, in which 22,000 Polish officers were taken prisoners and summarily executed, mass murder in cold blood? Who could have committed such a malevolent atrocity? Well, it was blamed on those nasty Nazis. Until decades later, in 1990, the Russian government admitted that the Soviet secret police, the NKVD, run by the bloodthirsty Jew Lavrenty Beria, carried out the slaughter with his Yiddish henchmen. John 7:13 clearly advises us of Jewish intimidation. Yet for fear of the Jews, no one spoke openly of him, meaning Jesus. Is that where we're headed? Look at it this way. The Jew is either going to shake your livelihood, or God is going to shake some sense into you. Take your pick. Again, this message isn't meant to scare you, but rather to lead you into being God-fearing men and women. Time and time again, Scripture admonishes us to fear not the world system out there. If I read the downfall of Mystery Babylon correctly in Revelation 17, 16, it's going to be an inside job. And wouldn't that be sweet justice? And the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. Right after the disaster in Sendai, Japan, Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, remember her recent comments that multiculturalism is a dismal failure and something must be done about the hordes of Muslim darkies that are changing German culture for the worse? Well, she ordered the German nuclear reactors to be immediately shut down, can you say Magna without being anti-Semitic? Got Stuxnet? People are wondering why she would do that. Something else happened that was noteworthy. Germany did the unthinkable. They sided with the Palestinians in a recent UN resolution calling for the halt of Israeli settlements in occupied Palestinian territory. This is exactly what the Japanese did prior to the unprecedented earthquake, exactly 1 year to the day. Jews have this mindset that Germany must never be forgiven for the so-called Holocaust, and that Germany has an eternal obligation to never criticize the Israeli state, to just shut up and pay the war reparations in perpetuity. Now it gets curiouser and curiouser. On March 21st, Chancellor Merkel narrowly escaped a VIP helicopter crash in which she was traveling. It was forced to make an emergency landing. Authorities are investigating how both rotors of the powerful 21-seat chopper broke down simultaneously. It was a brand new helicopter taken into the service of the federal police last December. Could it have been a HAARP attack? Well, what little information that we can avail ourselves of, we can conclude that there are some very dynamic geopolitical machinations being done in secret, but do not escape the attention of God Almighty. There may be quarreling factions within the New World Order. Honor among thieves can only be manipulated at certain levels, because the love of money and power is as pervasive as the shifting sands in the wind. Russia and China possess nuclear weapons and large standing militaries, but they might not have HAARP. China had an earthquake in 2008 that killed 68,000 Chinese. Their officials have blamed the U.S. for using HAARP against them. Retaliation would most likely be in the form of economic warfare, since China holds vast amounts of U.S. debt, as well as the American dollar. Compound that threat with the entire American economic portfolio that Japan possesses, and the Orient could bring this country down in one day. However, if you believe HAARP is the real deal, then we can see it as warning shots fired over the bow to stand down and conform to the New World Order. Now, the New World Order may have a global economy, but it does not have global armed forces. And the Israeli military cannot dominate the whole world. The Kabbalistic Jewish world government has captured the political leadership in the United States and is using our armed forces to subdue other nations into compliance. The mega churches in America are silent, as the big name televangelists have been compromised. and given their marching orders to pacify Christians and keep them sleeping. Lord knows how many wolves there must be in sheep's clothing. Well, we are feeling the brunt of severe weather, which is indeed a judgment from God, whether it's directly or indirectly. So-called Christian leaders are not willing to preach the truth and call the ecclesias to repentance. Lord, forgive us for ever letting the Jew to live among us, who have spread the leaven of godless communism far and wide. We have brought tribulation upon ourselves and find ourselves in a bind where we must choose between God and Babylon, for we cannot serve two masters. As each day passes, it becomes increasingly difficult to care about what's going on in the world. When you're struggling to hold down a job, pay your bills on time, putting inflationary gas in your car. When is the body of Christ going to wake up and get out of bed, climb to the roof and shout, "I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And furthermore, I will raise the standard of the cross and will serve no other king than our Lord Jesus Christ." It begins with one Christian at a time to wake up in the morning and say, "Today, I'm not going to feed the Antichrist Jew, nor will I pay for my own destruction. Lord, have mercy on the children of light as the day approaches where I will be shaken and found worthy not to fall." I like the lyrics in the hymn, "We Have an Anchor." "Though the tempest rage and the wild winds blow, not an angry wave shall bark or flow. We shall anchor fast by the heaven shore, the storms all past forevermore."